was the initial kind of moment where you said, you know what, I'm going to leave home and move to another continent?
I think it was when we had something like 120 days of rain non-stop. And I just thought, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm of an age where you want every day that you have left to be full. Yeah, you want to live life as much as you possibly can and get as much out of it for whatever time you've got left. And I want to be around for my kids, you know, and I want to have fun. It's as simple as that. And it's not much fun sitting indoors looking out at puddles. And that's pretty much what you do if you're English. You sit indoors looking out at the rain and watching puddles form, watching grass turn to mud. You know, oh, I'm sick of it. I got absolutely sick of it. And I got sick of the English thuggery. It used to be a city thing. It used to be that you'd walk around cities and you would expect to bump into a few gangs of drunken slobs here and there would cause trouble. And now it's everywhere. It's out in the villages, it's out in the country, it's out in these tiny little rural hamlets, and it's still there. And it's getting worse all the time. And I got sick of that, really. And I got sick of so many things. And what I really wanted was somewhere friendly and sunny and warm and exciting and vibrant. And in Los Angeles, you have it. I love it there. I absolutely love it. I wish I'd gone years ago.
And I was listening to your new album and then comparing it to some of the old stuff that you've done. And I thought maybe Los Angeles has made him a bit more emotional, because you just mentioned in another interview that you kind of had this image when you started playing live that you kind of created for yourself. And I could hear that on the albums, this whole kind of robotic thing, blah, Our Friends Electric. And now on this album, you're really, really emotional, sometimes even softy. And I thought, is that something that America might have done to you, like being more open and kind of, I don't know, just more yourself?
No, it's an age thing.
Think so?
Yeah, it's getting... America's, from a musical point of view, America's done nothing at all. You know, I still... My room really is quite literally a small black box. And I sit inside it, I've got no windows. I sit in my little black box and I come up with dark stuff. And it could be lightning outside, it could be sunny, I never see it. You know, I lose myself in my own little bubble of imagination and think of all this dark stuff. And where I am actually makes no difference at all, because it all comes from inside. I'm really not affected too much by where I am, surrounding, because everything I write is very, very much internal first and comes out. So I remember when the children came along, actually, there's an onslaught of mail from British fans in particular. He was saying, oh, I suppose you're going to have nice sort of happy songs about running around in flowers and things like that, you know, with your children, are we? In a kind of insulting way. And far from it, you know, if anything, it got darker when the children came along. Because now I got something to worry about, you know. What we sort of earlier about paranoia. So I'm not, but that sort of thing doesn't really have an effect on me. It's all very, very much from inside. And I do recognise now that whatever it is that triggers the creative part of me, that they tend to be sort of negative things. That's the spark that makes me want to write things down. I can have a really happy day and I'm not going to write about it.
How do you feel about, you know, yourself influencing popular culture in a way? I mean, so many people have talked about you, whether it's Prince or you've done songs with Battles. And does that flatter you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. And it's all the more enjoyable because it's kind of unexpected based on the first 10 or 15 years when nobody seemed to like me at all. So it's a lovely turnaround, and it's very, very flattering, and it really does help with confidence, especially, you know, to me, because I do suffer from a lack of confidence constantly. It helps that a great deal. It introduces new fans to what you're doing, so it's very good for the career. Gives me a level of credibility that I, oh my God, it's impossible to buy. You know, it doesn't matter how successful you become. The level of credibility that I'm enjoying at the moment is just phenomenal. You know, and that's all come via other people. People, you know, your Trent Reznors and so on that have said these lovely things and talk about me being influential. You know, that has given me so much. You know, and I think it's encouraged certain parts of the media that were hostile to me before to reevaluate what I've done you know, I clearly remember when the Pleasure Principle album came out in 79, it being rubbished, even though it went to number one in Britain and did really well, but as far as the media were concerned, they rubbished it and they hated it and didn't have a good word to say about it. And now those same magazines are doing re-evaluations of it and giving it two pages talking about what a classic, groundbreaking album it was. I remember what you said the first time. So take that with a pinch of salt. But it's lovely that it's changed. Now, I don't feel vindicated in any way. I genuinely accept that they didn't like it the first time round. And over time, it's become a different animal.
And maybe also that the people that are working for these magazines have changed and they're younger and they're listening back to their mums and dads' record collection thinking, well, what's wrong with that album? That was good.
I think that's a lot to do with it, yeah. I think the people that hated me have all moved on by now, whatever they want to do, you know.
What is it like when fans tell you, you know what, this new song was completely rubbish? Because that must be like, you know, punch in the face for any musician if your fan tells you, you know what, well, that song was really crap. You know, what do you do?
I have Asperger's, so I'm easily dismissive of stuff like that. Shit just rolls off my back, really. Yeah, when you think for the first 10 or 15 years of my career, I was probably the most despised person in the British media. And I just sailed through it. Don't read it, don't hurt you. Yeah, just get on with it.
Do you know why that actually was? Have you got a clue what the problem was actually?
Quite a lot actually. I think a big part of it was a hostility to electronic music when it first came along. You become the focal point for that because you're the person that's got the first big single. You're the person with the big number one. That's this brand new sort of music that everyone's talking about and everyone's buying. The press never made me. I was number one before I'd done a single interview. I think that tends to annoy them, or can do, a little bit. The fact that I've got Asperger's, and I would often have a very unfortunate way of expressing myself, which is entirely my fault. So I think I didn't help myself at all in those days. I never meant anything wrong, but if I could have put my foot further in my mouth, I could have actually, many, many times. So I got, I honestly don't have any problem. I think the hostility at times was way over the top, but I think it was all, you know, genuine. A lot of people just didn't like it. They didn't get the electronic thing. They were deeply rooted in guitar-based drums. They didn't perceive it as real music at all. They didn't understand how it was made. They thought it was press a button and it made itself, and obviously it never was. And there was just no real appreciation for it in some areas. And when you become unfashionable, even people that sort of kind of like you are too scared to say so. You get just slammed. I had a friend, actually, who was a journalist, my one champion at that time, who would write these articles, who would then see them edited and headlines put on it that just pulled it apart. So even at that point, you know, there were editors rewriting articles to make me look bad when an article had actually been very complimentary. So when you have that level of commitment against what you're doing, there's nothing you can do. You know, the only thing that you can possibly do is to live long enough to be where I am now. It's just one of those things when you're at the forefront of something, when you're the person that opens that door to a new kind of thing, you're the first person that gets punched in the face with people that don't want to see it and don't want it interfering with what they love and what they know is right, what they think music should be. And unfortunately, the other thing that happens is there's then a rush of people that come flying through that door after you because it's now open and they see opportunity, and you can get trampled by the onslaught of people that follow you. So you may be the first. And you may be the one that bravely poked your face around the door.
When you make popular culture, though.
Yeah, but again, you have to be around long enough to enjoy it. I mean, my career was pretty much dead and buried in 92, 93. And if I hadn't been extremely lucky, I would have been finished then. And I've never been around to enjoy the credibility and respect that I have now. You know, and I think that happens to an awful lot of people. Very few people get the second chance that I've been given. So I'm extremely appreciative of that and very, very grateful for all the various things that have made that happen.
Now, your younger fans who have not had the chance to see you live, and obviously for the last couple of years didn't have the chance anyway. What is your live performance going to be like?
Well, it's really, you know, it's very aggressive. It's very full on. The stage show side of what we do, you know, the music is big, loud, driving, and ferocious, and so you have to present it that way. And so the on stage thing is extremely full on, and great fun because of it. You're not just standing there singing your songs. You're twisting yourself all over the place. And, you know, it's just really, really good fun. Extremely driving stuff. From a light show point of view, that would depend greatly on where we are and what we can do. Some countries are going to be doing really big places. Other countries are going to be doing little places. So it would depend very, very much on what country we go to as to what the stage show side of it's going to be. But fingers crossed the album does well and we'll be doing bigger places than we've done before.
When can we expect to see you live then?
Hopefully the end of February. But we're still waiting to see. So much of it depends on the album. We just have to wait and see how that's going to work out.
Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure speaking to you, Gary.
My pleasure. Thank you.